So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Welcome to the UK Crypto Show. We haven't done one of these for quite some time, but everything's crashing. So we're like, let's do a podcast on the crypto shows. But interestingly as well, I was just running a sound check before I go live on every single podcast. I always run a sound check. And instead of hitting the start recording button, I hit the start streaming button. So then the sound check actually went live, which is quite funny. So then it's a mad dash trying to delete them all. And LinkedIn didn't delete, so you can see my sound check there. And let's not highlight that. So anyway, welcome to the UK Crypto Show. It's 25th of January. We are right slap bang in the middle of a crypto crash, effectively. And it's like, okay, no problem. And so I'm just going to pull up my Coinbase account. Let me see here. So if I look at this here, I can probably pull this up and share the screen, actually. Just checking I'm not going to share any personal information. Because we don't really want to do that, do we? Yeah, so that should be fine. Let's share the next screen. And then you can actually have a look and see what's going on. So let me just share it. Second screen. Here we go. Transfer that over. I think that should be fine. Yeah, I don't want to transfer any personal data over, but that's fine. Okay, let's transition that over. Okay, so in front of me, you can see, obviously, crypto's crashing right now. I mean, it's just, you know, in the last week, Bitcoin's gone down 13%, Ethereum's down a quarter, 25%, Cardano's down 33%, Doge is down 20%, SHIB is down 26%. But then when we look at that from a monthly point of view, let's just see what those numbers look like. Bitcoin's down almost 30%. Ethereum's down 40%. Cardano's down 28%. Solana is 52%. That's nice. what's the other main one? Doge down almost 30%. And so they're quite considerable discounts, I guess. It depends on what you want to call them, doesn't it? You know, some people think they are... discount, and some people think it's just crashing and the whole world is finishing. And I saw a tweet to Elon Musk saying, Elon, can you please tweet about Doge? I've got everything on that. I've put my life savings onto Doge and it's crashing and it's your fault. And can you tweet about it and get the price up? And it scares the living bejeebies out of me, because this is just really basic stuff that people should be doing with their investing, and they're just not. So let's talk about this. So the reason why I'm not panicking about the crypto crash is because I use dollar cost averaging. So a month ago, when Bitcoin was 30% higher, 30% higher is not the same as 30% discount, by the way, just to clarify. But anyway, before, when it was higher, I was buying Bitcoin at a certain price. All it means by dollar cost averaging, and I buy every Saturday, by the way. So I've got a regular buy payment. It just goes out every Saturday. And I just buy the same amount. I don't care what the price is. I'm not even looking at the price. I have no idea what the price is. I mean, I do now because I'm looking at it. It's $36,000, which is pretty low, right? But I honestly don't care. It could be $10,000. If it's $10,000, I'm probably going to put some more into it. But not a huge amount more, you see, because we dollar cost average over a period of time. So if we're, you know, if Bitcoin was $60,000 and we're putting in, let's say, £100 a week onto Bitcoin, and we're buying little Satoshis, that's what a small part of a Bitcoin is called, a Satoshi, and we're actually buying into that. I'm buying a very small percentage of a Bitcoin, but I'm paying the equivalent of $60,000 for that. But here we are a month later, and it's $36,000. So I'm still putting in the same £100 a month. But instead of getting, you know, one Satoshi, let's say, I'm now doubling that because I'm able to buy more for using the same money. And this is why Forex works. And I've done a lot of Forex trading, and I am so dreadful at Forex trading. And it's awesome because it teaches me so many lessons. One of the lessons I learned from Forex trading is that, boy, I am a god. I am an absolute god at Forex. And then, whoosh, I lose everything. Happens every single time. We took an account from 150 quid to over £1,000. lost everything. And people are like, oh, you stop losses and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we do all that, but we still lost it. And this represents what happens in the bigger picture. And it really educates me as an investor. And by the way, I have to say that none of this is financial advice. You need to go see a financial advisor who can tell you not to invest in crypto at all because they don't understand it. Most financial advisors are old farts, aren't they? Let's face it. And if you are a financial advisor and you're not an old fart, I apologize. but most of them don't, you know, they don't put any money into it at all. They might put a small amount, like 1%. And actually, that's probably about the rate that you should be putting into crypto. I see people, and I saw this like a month ago, and people going, oh, I get 8% on this property. And they're going, oh, 8%, I earn that in a day. Oh, let's get them on the podcast show. Where are you today then? You know, 30 days after a 30% price drop. How's that working out for you? Like, you know, anybody can sail a ship on a calm sea. I love that saying. If you're investing in crypto and it's going up, you know, we had this in 2006, 2007, 2008 before the crash, buying property. A goldfish could buy property and make 30 grand. It was really not hard. And we had Property Doctor and the House Doctor. And we had all those, Sarah Beeny was on TV all the time, showing people how to buy houses, do them up and sell them and so on. Well, it's dead easy. When a market's going up, a goldfish can do it. The difficulty is what happens over an extended period of time when you've got such fluctuations. I'm not buying into fluctuations. I'm simply not buying into fluctuations whatsoever because I don't want those fluctuations. I just want a nice, easy life. We want to keep buying every so often. And, we, you know, we average it out every single week, regardless of what's going on in the world, right, or what's happening on the Bitcoin prices. Bitcoin could go down to £2 each. I've got to tell you, by the way, folks, Bitcoin goes down to £2 each. You'll have to you'll have a competition with me about who can buy the most, because I'm going to try and buy as much as I can, because I think Bitcoin is here for the long term. But what I'm not here for is these weekly fluctuations, these monthly fluctuations, because I really don't care. Let's have a look a year ago. Let's just share that screen again. So a year ago, oh, look, Bitcoin's up 12%. Ethereum, from a year ago, is up 81%. This is why we dollar cost average, because over the long term, you're going to get it going up and up and up. That's what's happened so far. Now, this is the thing. If it doesn't go up and up and up and it goes down and down and down and down and down for the rest of your life, okay, you don't want to be putting yourself at such a risk that you lose everything. Because where's the fun in that? Where's the life there? There's no living there, is there? So what else we got? Cardano up 197%. Solana, 2,354%. We'll get to the big one in a minute. Doge, 1,500%. Oh, where's SHIB? Shiba Inu. What is that? Is that 15,666,089.65%? Like, you know, we missed Shiba Inu, didn't we? Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, if only. Even Polygon. No idea what Polygon is. 4,000%. Everything's up. Look at that. Polkadot's not done very well. 4%. DAI's not up. I think DAI just follows the US dollar, quite frankly. That's why. And there'll be a USDT in here as well, which just follows the dollar. But everything's up. You've got some stuff, Litecoin's down, Chainlink and so on, Bitcoin Dash, Stellar's down. I've got some Stellar for my sins. But my Stellar is still up because I bought it that long ago. It's still up. And this is why we dollar cost average, because we want to go into and exist for a long, long time with our crypto investments. And so we just dollar cost average. And dollar cost averaging basically just means that you're putting in the same amount every single year. So if you've got £12,000 to spend, do you put 12 grand in now, or a month ago when Bitcoin was $65,000? Do you put in your 12 grand at 65, or do you dollar cost average every single month, £1,000 a month for the next 12 months? And some people go, oh, well, I'm going to put it all in because it's on the way up and they have fear of missing out and they don't want to miss out and so on. It really doesn't help them because what's happened? Bitcoin in the last month has dropped 28%, was it? Let's go back to the monthly. Dropped 28%. So now you're £60,000 or $65,000. You put 12 grand in, you probably got maybe seven left. That's a really bad thing to do. So what you do is you put in £1,000 a month. Or even better, you put £250 in every single week. And again, this is not financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. This is simply what I do. And I put in a certain amount every single week. And I just put mine into the top, whatever the market cap is. Let's just go back to the daily, and let's put in market cap from top to bottom. Let me share that again for you so you can see it. Second screen, transition, there we go. So, you know, we put money into Bitcoin, Ethereum, Cardano, Doge, SHIB. I think, is that it? Oh, we've got some other funds in there. Not a huge amount, but it's in there. Back from 2017 when we were messing about with crypto and trying to work out how wallets work and all that kind of thing. And, you know, it's like, well, did we lose some money at that point? And it's like, actually, no, we didn't. When I go back to the spreadsheet with all our crypto on there, it just keeps going up. And that's not to say it will always go up, but also you don't want to be in a position where you think it's going to go up and then it doesn't go up, but you need it to go up in order to eat that month. That's ridiculous. But this is where we are, unfortunately, with certain people. And the other thing I want to talk about here is about using leverage on cryptocurrency accounts, because people are using 100 times leverage. Like, leverage as a tool, as a strategy, can work really well, but not on crypto. In my humble opinion, what the hell are you doing? That's like, it's like Han Solo playing his card game against Lando Calrissian, and Lando puts the spaceship, the Millennium Falcon, into the card game, and then he loses it. Loses a card game. What are you using leverage for? You'd run out of gold coins or whatever you use, gold pressed platinum. Wrong universe. That's a Star Trek thing, by the way. But, you know, he runs out of money, qubits or units or whatever you call them in Star Wars. And then he goes, oh, I'll put my ship on it. And then he loses the ship. He used leverage and he put his ship on it and he lost it. That's crazy. What are you doing? Obviously, poker, or the version of poker in Star Wars, is gambling anyway, but so is investing in cryptocurrency. What are you using leverage for in cryptocurrency? It just doesn't even make sense. You're betting with money that you haven't even got in a bank. So if you put in £1,000 and you're going 100x and it comes down, like, are you owing them money? Where's it going to come from? You're going to get knock on the door and men with baseball bats coming to take their stuff back. Like, why do you do that? It just doesn't make sense. And it really displays really poor education from a financial intelligence point of view, like a financial education point of view. You should get yourself a copy of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You should be playing Cashflow 101. You should understand how assets work. Crypto is the world's gambling table. What are you using leverage for when you're gambling? It's not investing. I don't invest in crypto. I gamble. Okay? And, like, again, this is not financial advice. These are just the words that I choose to use. But can you play gamble and win? Can you gamble and win? Yeah, of course you can. Is it high risk? Of course you can. Might you lose it all? Of course you can. What the hell are you 100x in it for? Stop using leverage. Now, if you're in property, obviously, leverage, you know, we buy a house, it's 25, it's 100 grand, let's say, so you put £25,000 down, you borrow £75,000 from the bank at 2%, you pay that off over 25, 30, 40 years, whatever that's going to be, your tenants pay the rent, you put a little chunk of that back into paying that debt down, so you're continually paying it down. That's why you should be using leverage. You definitely shouldn't be using leverage on gambling. It just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. And just going back to betting on the house and Lando Calrissian putting a Millennium Falcon in his poker game against Han Solo, which is how, you know, the ownership of the Millennium Falcon went from one to the other. He lost it in a card game. He literally bet the house, which was his spaceship, and he lost the house. What the hell are you doing? It scares me. This is gambling. This is not, like, investing in any way, shape or form. You know, like, moving closer towards investing would be dollar cost averaging. Putting 50 quid a week into it, £10 a week into it, 15, 20 pounds a week into it. That's dollar cost averaging. That's moving you closer to actual investing. But you using leverage, 100x, and I'm going all in. I can't think of a time when going all in really paid off. Like, you know, some people may be just really lucky, and maybe they're a luck god. And they just get really lucky. Do you remember Chance in a Million on the BBC like 30 years ago, Tom Chance? And he was just the world's luckiest man. And he'd win all the raffle prizes and, you know, ladders would fall and he'd just step over them. And he was the world's luckiest man. That really doesn't happen. People are betting the house. They're hoping their luck turns. There is no such thing as luck anyway. But there is, like, good financial education. There's good financial literacy. How many books have you read on crypto? How many books have you read on Forex? How many books have you read on investing? And most people, like, who are investing in crypto haven't even read a book on investing. And I'm like, well, hang on a minute. I thought you were telling me that you're investing in crypto. Yeah, I am. How many books you read on crypto? Like, for me, crypto is not even an investment. In my own world, right, and Dan's world is an amazing place. You should come sometime. It's awesome. In Dan's world, an investment is something that gives me not only a capital growth, but I'm not really fussed in that, but it gives me a monthly income. Gold does not do that. I don't invest in gold. I do invest in stocks and shares. I invest in property. Why? Because I get a monthly or a quarterly income in the form of dividends and the prices go up. So that's an investment. Bitcoin, where's the income? You've got to sell it. You've got to sell the golden goose to get any, you know, to get the income. It doesn't just spew out little extra eggs that you can go spend. Golden eggs. If you make £1 million on Bitcoin, you've got to sell Bitcoin over to US dollar or GBP. And that's what you spend. You go out and buy yourself £1 million Bugatti. Your £1 million is gone. It's no longer in existence. That for me is not investing. Like, you know, you should have a combination. And again, this is not financial advice. But for me, investing is something that generates cash flow on a monthly basis. Because I'm a cash flow investor and I want to go away to Thailand for a month. And which we might do this summer, we were going to do this summer, but we might do it next summer. Just hire a villa on the beach one, live there for a month, get bored shitless on the beach in Thailand, sounds awesome, right? And then come back and discover that the business has grown, the properties have looked after themselves, and my cash flow has actually increased, and my net worth has actually increased because everything's gone up in value. I don't want to be having to check Bitcoin and worried about where's it going, and oh my gosh, I've got a house left to go to. It's just crazy. So stop betting the house. You know, cryptocurrency is not investing. It's gambling. I can't really say that any more than I have done. And obviously, some people are going to get really upset by me saying that. Because like, no, of course it's an investment. Of course it is. Is it? So you put it in a tax-free wrapper, can you? Now, I'm cheating a little bit when I say that because I actually have my Bitcoin in a tax-free wrapper. You can't do it anymore. But when I bought Bitcoin, back in the days when we had no shoes and we had to walk to school in the snow. Back in the olden days, in 2017, we put some money into Bitcoin through Hargreaves Lansdown. Through, it's kind of like an ETF, but it's not an ETF. Anyway, we put it into a pension, through a self-invested pension plan pot, a SIP, effectively. And so any profits that we get from Bitcoin are just tax-free. Now, I'm 49, so I can't even draw that pension down until I'm 55. And by the time I get there, I think it'll be 57 anyway. But, well, we've got what, 8 years? Wonder what will happen to Bitcoin in 8 years. Maybe it'll be worth zero. And so that pension pot that went up, well, tax-free, well, it's tax-free even more because if Bitcoin's zero, there's nothing left in it. But, you know, can you put it in a tax-free wrapper? That's a form of investment. Can you offset your costs against your income like you can with property to some extent anyway? Can you put stocks and shares into a tax-free wrapper like via an ISA or via a SIP? Of course you can. Okay, and obviously speak to a financial advisor because I'm not a financial advisor. But cryptocurrency is gambling pure and simple. So we want to move as far away as we can, and that's why we use dollar cost averaging. Now, I know that we're going to talk about Peloton. We're actually going to talk about the NASDAQ as well. Let me just pull up the NASDAQ from yesterday. And I know the NASDAQ's not English. I understand that. And I know Peloton's also not English. Let me just pull up the price. But let's talk about Peloton first. So Peloton is on a discount. Yeah, that'll do. So Peloton's on a discount. Let me pull up the Peloton share price as well, actually. Share price, there we go. So it's 75% off, in fact, which sounds like a bargain, doesn't it? So the question is, should you be investing in Peloton? Well, like, maybe. But I'm definitely not investing in Peloton. So rule number one of investing comes from Warren Buffett, and he got it from Benjamin Graham. And you should read Benjamin Graham's book, The Intelligent Investor. If you've not read that book, you shouldn't be investing. And that's where the rule comes from. What was the rule? Oh, no, rule number one, don't lose money, ever. Rule number two, reread rule number one. It's like The Karate Kid. So you should never lose money. Now, for me, at its height, Peloton was $167. Call it 170 because it's easier maths. It's now, or call it what? Well, yeah, call it 170. It's now $30 more or less. Let's just pull up the calculator. And actually, yeah. So what was it? 100 and more than that? 162. Oh, 162 divided by 30. So it was five times more back then. So if it goes back to being what it used to be back in 2020, 24th of December, in fact, is when it peaked. And we'll talk about why it peaked in a minute. But if it goes back to that, you're getting a five times return. Well, that's pretty amazing, right? But who knows what's happening to Peloton? I don't know what's happening to it. I don't understand the business enough. I do understand that during the pandemic, you couldn't get weights, you couldn't get exercise machines, people couldn't get to the gyms, and so people bought stuff online. Peloton then saw an increase in demand, opened up a new factory, produced loads and loads of bikes and treadmills. Then they got in the news because a guy had a heart attack on Sex and the City after using a Peloton, so that was some bad news. And then a kid got killed or something. There's been a couple of injuries, and then they had to recall them. So there was some bad press. But then what happened? Well, the pandemic lifted and lockdowns lifted, and so people could go to the gym, so they didn't need the Peloton. So Peloton now have got all these hundreds of thousands of bikes and treadmills. We can't get rid of them. So for now, we're carrying excess stock. We need to get rid of some stock. Goodness knows how we're going to do that. So it's all over the bloody place. Now, would I put a little bit of money into Peloton? I would do. Just for the punt, really. It's $30. It's what, 20 quid? What are you going to do? Stick 100 quid in? Stick 1,000 quid in? I don't know. It depends on how much is a lot of money for you. But that's a gamble for me. Like, I don't even know what the dividend is on Peloton. Let me have a look, see if I actually have a dividend. And I doubt that they'll be doing much dividends because they're making a loss right now. They're making a huge loss. Peloton has not paid any dividends yet, so it's not cash flowing. So that's why I wouldn't buy something like Peloton. Would I buy Amazon? Would I buy Tesla? So I would buy Amazon, and I have got Tesla, but Tesla actually doesn't fit my my investing criteria because it's not doesn't give me cash flow. If I want to buy a Tesla using my Tesla shares, I can't buy lots of shares and use the cash flow from those shares to buy the Tesla. I've got to sell some Tesla shares. And so when I made the decision to buy into Tesla, and it's through my SIP again, so it's tax-free gains, and we've gone like 3,000%, whatever it is. So when I made that decision, it wasn't based around investment principles. It was based around a bet. It was a gamble because I'm putting money in to this brand new business, more or less. It's 5 years old, with this crazy idea of automatic cars that pick you up and drive you places. And the guy that's putting people on Mars, crazy, right? Absolutely crazy, mental crazy. When we look back in 100 years and we look at Elon, we're like, my goodness me. Why did we not give this guy a few more breaks and a bit more help to change the planet like he is doing? But we're not, because we're humans and we're arses right now to Elon. And we're trying to do everything we can to screw him up for whatever reason. Jealousy, I'm guessing. I don't know. So, but that's not investing for me because Tesla doesn't give cash flow. But it was a gamble and it was an educated risk, having looked at the business and knowing that this is where we're heading. For me, that's just what it was. And again, it's not financial advice, and I'll keep saying that. But I don't understand enough about Peloton. It doesn't give me a dividend. It's just very risky. And I don't like the idea of losing money. I'm a tight northerner. I come from Leeds. We don't lose money. You drop 10 pence, you pick it up and put it back in your pocket. We don't, you know, it's just what we do. Pick a penny and you'll have good luck. Whatever I was saying is, I mean, I actually don't believe in that now because I'd rather go out and earn more cash and you know, cut my costs and generate cash flow that I can rely on for the next, you know, 12 months because we're cash flow investors. But I don't understand Peloton. I don't understand the business. I don't know what we're going to do. So somebody asked me yesterday, should you, you know, are you buying Peloton? I'm like, I didn't answer because I knew I was going to do this. But for me, it's just too big of a risk. The other thing I just want to show you is, move on to the second screen. I just want to show you the here. In fact, let me just pull this up. Let me just pull this up here. There we go. Just get rid of the distractions. Okay, so right here, let me change this to blue so you can see. And obviously, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you can't see it. But what we're looking at here is a V shape from this point here to this point here. So this point here is the 20th of January, about midday. And it was about, 14,500 was the NASDAQ. And then it dropped all in the same day, more or less. It dropped to a certain point and it went in at about 13,250. And today it's £13,855. And so people yesterday panicking, oh my gosh, it's dropping, the world is ending, the sky is falling in, and so on, right? And people are like really concerned about it, and as right they should be, because it's their money. I wasn't concerned. we've got an index fund that follows a tracker. I'm not, we put 50 quid a month in. Or whatever it is, 100 quid a month. Don't even know what it is on that one. But it's no big deal. If it drops, we use dollar cost averaging. Awesome. If it drops, we're just buying more. Where's my cursor? We're just buying more at this low price here. If it goes up, that's fine. We'll buy here. If it drops lower, that's fine. Not a problem. We'll just buy lower here. Look at my voice. It's gone all high pitched. It does that when I get excited. So it doesn't matter. This is the point. This is what investing should be like. It doesn't matter. In fact, you should be getting excited. It's like, oh my gosh, amazing. The Nasdaq's dropped 50%. Woo! I can buy more. Dollar cost averaging. Yes. Because you don't need the money now. It's only a loss if you sell. There's a meme and it's got some plates on the inside of a glass cupboard. And if you open a cupboard, they'll all fall out. And the meme says, it's only a loss if you close, right? If you sell. And if you open a cupboard door, you lose all the plates. But if you never open a door, you never lose the plates. And so we had this in the crash in 2007. We've been investing since 1999. Was it 2008, 2009, the last crash? Oh my gosh, property prices dropped. What are you going to do? Stupid people ask what you're going to do. When I say stupid, I mean uneducated, financially illiterate people. What are you going to do? Are you going to sell? Why would I sell at a loss? It doesn't make any sense. And again, not financial advice. But why would you do that? Ride the bloody storm. And if you can't ride the storm, you've overspent. You've overinvested. You've over-risked the portfolio. You've betted the house. You've used leverage and you haven't used dollar cost averaging. And so you've got to get better at investing. And there's books out there. The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, I think it is. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Understand assets. Understand your asset and liability columns and your income and expenses, and understand how an asset generates cash to pay your liabilities. Okay, so instead of buying a fancy Porsche 911, go and buy more houses and use the houses to go get a Porsche that you can then write off as a tax thing. Like, that's how it should be working. And you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad was like 20 years ago, and he's kind of gone off on all sorts of tangents. He's a bit weird these days, I think. Very Trump, Trumpism and so on. It's not my cup of tea anymore. But, you know, the information that's in those books, that's what you should be reading. And they're the podcast that you should be listening to, and you should be understanding what crypto actually is and what investing actually is. Now, we're all different as well. I'm a cash flow investor. Other people who invest in properties, they like to do them up and sell them, and they take the 30 grand out. That for me is just this continuous wheel on, you know, mouse on a wheel. You buy one, you do it up and you sell it. You've got to do it again and again and again until you're what, 80? When do you stop? I would much rather buy three, sell two, keep one, keep the one for the next 30 years, and that generates cash flow. That's how we became financially free at age, I don't know what it was, 42, 43, I don't know what it was. But we've been living in Spain. I'm 49 now. We've been living in Spain 8 years. We work very few hours, you know, because of the investments that we made, using dollar cost averaging, using the correct leveraging on property, not on crypto, on not betting the house, on keeping an eye on costs and expenses and liabilities, and not buying fancy new cars all the time, and going on nice holidays. And we don't get me wrong, we still go on holiday, but we allocate a certain amount each month towards that holiday. And that's how much we're going to spend on a holiday this year or next year or the year after, because it's allocated on the spreadsheet. So look, I hope that's useful for you. We covered that quite well, I think, today. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow, live again tomorrow. So come and join us for that. And if you've not downloaded the podcast yet, you can go jump on the podcast. If you do a search on iTunes under my name, Daniel Latto, you'll find us. Other than that, have yourselves a wicked day, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. My name's Dan Latto. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.